Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm playing an interview I did with Dijon Fields, who is currently starring as Sammy Davis Jr. in Sammy Tonight at the West Coast Black Theater Troupe. This is a remarkable performer. This is a really interesting interview. So hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down
can do the things that you were meant to do. That is, the things that you would do if you had access to all of who you really are. It may seem odd to those of you who haven't listened to me before for me to say that it's possible that there are things about you that you don't know, things about you that you don't have access to, things about you that belong to you, that came with the territory of being you, that you aren't able to use, and therefore there's a way of being in this world that you were meant to be and aren't. Of course, if you've been listening, you've heard me say this over and over, and even if you haven't been listening, I suspect you know this. We are discouraged in childhood, most of us, from expressing or demonstrating some quality or another. Maybe we're too loud, or maybe we're too quiet, or maybe we don't like to eat the food that is put in front of us, or maybe we're shy, or maybe we have a really odd sense of humor. Or maybe we like to sing and dance, and the family that we were born into thinks that that's some kind of sin. Or maybe we like to sing, but the family that we're born into only likes a certain kind of music, and we are actually drawn to a different kind of music, but they make fun of us, or tease us, or criticize us when we sing that kind of music or dance to it. You get the idea. So not only families, but the culture that we were born into, the religion that we were born into, the peer group that we exist in, our classes, our schools, our teachers. Everybody has an opinion about what it is right for us to be and what it is correct for us to do. And in many cases, the things that we are and the things that we do run up against some idea that that's not okay. And because feeling like we are okay is so important to children, we learn to pretend that whatever it was about us that didn't go down well, that brought a consequence we didn't like, first we pretend it's not true, and then we forget all about it. And we place it, this is my language, undercover. Now, I talk about the placing of qualities, ways of being, attitudes, undercover in my book, When You Can, You Will, Why You Can't Always Do What You Want to Do and What to Do About It. I talk about the creation of a cover story, which is what I think so many of us are living out. Not the whole truth, but a cover story, a version of the truth of who we are. And I also talk about why it's so important to know this and to think about what we might have to had denied, and if at all possible, to get some of that back. Get access to the silly person you were, or the serious person you were, or the quiet person you were, or the rambunctious person you were, or whoever it was you hid. So that's the point of the Lynn Show. You can learn more about what I think about that. You can learn about my psychotherapy practice. You can get access to the book all on my website, thelynnshow.com. That is thelynnshow, thelynnshow.com. Don't leave the E off of the end of Lynn. At my website, you can also get access to all the shows I've done and all the interviews that I've done. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. I do this because when you listen to someone who is making a living or even a life, not necessarily making a living doing it, with an art, you hear that in this area of their life, they are just exactly who they really are. It's so clear. And it is my hope that when you listen to these people who are themselves, to use the therapeutic term, they are congruent, that you would be inspired to ask yourself if there's something about you that you don't have access to, that you have hidden, that you're cheated out of, really. So my interview today is with Dijon Fields, and Dijon is the star of Sammy Tonight, which is playing at West Coast Black Theater Troupe, and in it, he is Sammy Davis Jr. And you'll hear him say later that when I say, you know, are you channeling Sammy? He said, no. This is an homage to the man. And it is so definitely an homage to the man. I was lucky enough to see this play last year. And the fact that they're bringing it back speaks to how many other people wanted to see it and or see it again, as I am going to do. And Dijon is a perfect example of why I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. Coming from a family where no one is an artist, Dijon knew from the beginning that what he was a performer. You'll hear him say, class clown, family entertainer, from the beginning. And he followed that certainty, although he has virtually no training. This is an amazing story. It's the story of a man who always knew who he was, who held on to that for dear life, and followed that certainty in every way he could think of. And then when he was offered this opportunity to do Sammy Davis Jr., his initial response was, I don't do that. But he allowed himself to become that. You'll hear the story, it's wonderful. And if you're anywhere near Sarasota, Florida, or you can get here when this play is happening, or any place else that he's doing it, because he travels with it, do yourself a favor. Come down and see Dijon Fields. If you saw Sammy Davis Jr., this will touch you. If you didn't, then you missed something amazing and you get another opportunity. So Dijon was kind enough to send me two tracks from his show. The first one I'm going to play before I play the interview, and we're going to go out on the second one. The first one is, of course, a song so well known to everyone who knew Sammy Davis Jr.'s work, What Kind of Fool Am I? And I'm going to play that first, and then I'm going to play the interview with Dijon Field.
What kind of fool am I who never fell in love? It seems that I am the only one that I have been thinking of. What kind of man is this who refused to see what could be seen by almost everyone but me? What kind of clown am I? What do I know of life? Why can't I cast away this mask of clay? Go out and live my life. Why can't I fall in love? Feel like and me.
Okay, I am here with Dijon Fields in the offices of West Coast Black Theater Troupe. And Dijon is here to reprise his performance of Sammy Tonight, which he did last year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I saw it last year. It's amazing. You are amazing. I am so glad to be interviewing you. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, they loved it. They loved it, right?
Yes. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, it looks like it's a lot of fun
it
to
is.
Do.
All
right.
It is.
So I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. And it's very clear that you make your life, at least, as a performer.
Yes.
And maybe specifically as this performer, I'm not sure. But I ask one question, and that is, how did it happen? How did you discover not only your ability to reincarnate Sammy Davis Jr., which you do, but to sing, to dance, to entertain. How did that, when was the very first moment in your life when you thought, ooh, this is fun, or I could do this, or someone said, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It happens in stages.
Yeah.
I've always had an interest from the time I was 3 years old. I knew, there's just something in me that knew I was going to entertain.
Okay, now, how does a three-year-old, what does it look like to a three-year-old that he's going to entertain?
He's the class clown. He becomes the class clown.
The
passion for music. You can't get enough of music, you know. You dance around the house. You put on shows for your sisters and brothers. And
yes. So right at the beginning, really quite young, you had the impulse to have people look at you and to do this stuff that was to some extent connected to music?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So did people say, oh, well, he's going to be a performer, or they didn't, or they knew, everybody knew?
My family knew.
Yeah, they
said,
did.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be an entertainer.
Okay, all right. So, okay, what happened after three?
Well, I grew up. and I took little steps, you know, along the way.
Did you take lessons?
I'm self-taught.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I am a trained dancer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, take me through it. So did you perform in
school?
I did church plays, school mm-hmm. plays.
Right? Singing, dancing.
My first big role was King Nebuchadnezzar. in my church play.
I'll bet you were. I'll bet you were great.
Oh, I was a riot.
How old were you?
I think I had to have been about 8 or 9 years old.
Right, okay. Yeah. So this is a starring role.
Yes.
Yes, right?
Yes.
And do you remember it? Do you remember what it felt like?
It was so, the one thing that stands out that I remember was my mother and my sisters were a little late to the performance.
Right.
And I remember looking up and seeing the back of the auditorium doors open, and I saw the silhouettes, and I knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave the performance of my life, because when they walked through that door, I was like, oh, I've got to really, I remember feeling like, okay,
I'm on.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's lovely. So the impulse to please them, to do it for them, is even stronger than the impulse to perform, period, no?
I think that's accurate. I think that's accurate. When you, there's nothing like having someone out in the audience who you know that is really pulling for you and supporting and loving you.
Yes.
And giving you that confirmation.
Yeah.
You know, the support. There's nothing like it.
It's great. It's,
yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Okay. So, after King Nebuchadnezzar. Hard to top that, but what?
Well, you know, I did talent shows. I was constantly entering contests and
where did you grow up?
Shows. I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. My father was an engineer for the Federal Aviation Administration. So.
Not exactly a show business family.
No. I'm the only entertainer in the family. Everyone's talented in my family, but they have multiple things that they do. I'm the only
So you don't know where this comes from in you. You came, right, came in with it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are talent shows, and there are church things,
mm-hmm.
and there are maybe school things,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so mm-hmm. then this is...
So I turned 19, and actually, let me back up. We mm-hmm. moved from Anchorage, Alaska to Los Angeles.
Oh.
I was, talk about a culture shock, when I was mm-hmm. 16.
Oh my goodness.
And so I went to everything familiar to everything unfamiliar.
Yes.
But the first thought, I'm going to Hollywood.
Yes.
That was the first, I mean, when I found out we were going to Los Angeles,
hooray.
I'm going to be a star. Yeah. I'm going to Hollywood. that was my mindset.
Yeah.
And so, we got to Los Angeles, and the reality was that it was not all that I thought it was.
No kidding.
A 16-year-old's dreams are huge, and
yes.
the realities a lot of times are not the same as as we envision them. So, but the passion for the craft is what always shines through.
Mm-hmm.
When you're passionate about what you do and what you want, you really persevere.
Okay, so now you said you were a trained dancer.
Yes.
Did you start studying that?
At the age of 19, joined a dance studio. I wanted to learn how to do ballroom, but I also wanted to teach. So I was hired. I auditioned for a job, and I was hired as a teacher. And of course, they train you to teach the way they would like you to teach.
Right.
So
right.
in that, I got. You know, I got training in order to teach.
In all of the dance steps.
The ballroom and salsa.
Primarily
ballroom and salsa. Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Rumba, samba.
Lindy.
Yeah. they called it, our version, they called it East Coast Swing.
East Coast Swing.
Which was like the Lindy.
The Lindy, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, 19.
So, 19, I'm
you're beginning, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 19,
mm-hmm.
that's very late.
It is.
It's
it
very
is.
Late. So, and you begin in this interesting way with ballroom dancing. I mean, that's not, it's kind of a side door, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, what happened?
Well, I'm kind of conditioning myself, at least I'm doing something that's remotely connected to entertaining.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also learning and getting skills.
Yes.
I was smart enough to know even at that young age that everything that I can take in,
I can use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so with that in mind, I would go to auditions and I tried doing extras and different
mm-hmm.
things with the industry, and it just the hit and miss. It wasn't until I moved to Washington State in the year 2000
Wow.
That I got a job headlining at a casino.
Wait a minute. This is a huge leap.
Yeah.
So were you developing an act?
I had bought karaoke equipment and started a karaoke company.
You're kidding.
So I figured, how can I make money doing what I love to do?
Right.
And so I invested in, it cost me $3,500 to start up, to get the machine and a decent selection of karaoke discs.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to work for myself.
So
I'm going to do what I love to do, and I'm going to support myself doing it. So I started, after the dance studio, I started the karaoke company.
So what did you do? Go to a place and say, I'm self-contained?
I did. That's exactly what I did. I taught myself how to do flyers on the computer, and I designed some business cards and took them to a place, had copies, about a couple of hundred done to start.
Right.
And started knocking on nightclubs doors and clubs and VFWs and small places where they were. And I would say, let me set up and show you what I can do. And then I would give them about a 10-minute presentation. I'd go through a list of songs, and I could do anything from Frank Sinatra's material to Luther Vandross's material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would show them all the things that they were getting if they hired me. And
where was this? Was this,
this was in Los Angeles still.
Still, right.
And then shortly thereafter, I moved to Washington State. I had a friend who had a lead on a casino.
The gig. Oh, I got it. Okay.
And he said, but you're going to have to move here. And that was quite a commitment, and I wasn't sure.
Okay, well, wait. Well, I want to back up first. So you started to get work at this karaoke thing.
Yes.
And you hadn't developed Sammy Davis yet?
No.
Amazing. No. Amazing. And this is a natural voice?
Yes.
You didn't study?
Well, of course, yes, I studied Sammy, but...
Yeah, no, but you didn't study voice.
No.
Amazing.
No.
Okay, so we got you now in L.A. at VFWs and nightclubs, and you set up your equipment, and you do your performance, and you're working, right? You're working, and you're making a living doing what you want to do.
Yes.
Okay, and so your friend calls and says, listen, there's a casino out here. They could probably use you, but you have to come.
Yes.
And so you took the leap.
Yes.
Okay, so you moved to...
Vancouver, Washington, which is right on the Columbia River. It's on the border of Portland, Oregon.
Very beautiful.
Very pretty.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So you go out there with your machine.
Yep.
And
I moved all my belongings and my karaoke equipment. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so, and then you auditioned, or they...
I auditioned. Well, actually, it happened. It was really strange because I had set up a meeting. My friend had set up a meeting with one of the general managers of the casino. The meeting was to take place on a Monday morning. Well, we arrived on a Saturday night, and we went into the casino. Lo and behold, they had a karaoke contest.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, unbeknownst to them...
You got up there and competed.
I signed up for the competition. I said, well, let's see where this goes. I said, well, I do karaoke for a living, and they said it doesn't matter.
Right.
If, as long as you don't work here, it doesn't matter, you can join.
Right, right.
And they had no idea that I was
there
for
the
meeting. So I said, well, the meeting's not till Monday. They told me, no offense, but this competition is very political.
Meaning?
It was run by, they said no one who was not Asian has ever won this contest. It was very political.
Because they're mostly Asians
Yes. It was run by...
The place itself was run by...
No, just the contest. Just the contest.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, you know, it's just something to do. I don't mind. It's not that serious for me.
Right.
And so I said, well, it's fun. I'll do it anyway. And he's like, okay, well, I just wanted to let you know. And I said, well, that's no problem.
Yeah.
I am the only non-Asian that ever won that contest. I won that contest. And the guy says, you know, you can't enter anymore, right? You clearly won, but don't enter anymore. I thought that was
What did you sing?
I sang, Kevin Sharp does a song called Nobody Knows It But Me. That's the song I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
It's a beautiful song. And, you know, I realized at that point, you know, the one thing that shined through to me is at that moment when I won, and I was the only non-Asian to win a primarily Asian contest.
Yes, right.
It occurred to me, I can really break down barriers.
Yes.
I can use this gift
for good.
To bring people together.
Yeah, wow. So it's not only something that I love that works for me, that enhances me, that makes me feel good, but I can really do good in the world with it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that is where, that's where the passion really, that's what feeds that passion.
Yeah, I have tears
to
in my
see head. That. I'm, it's bigger than just, look at me, I can sing.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
really
yeah.
is. I mean, we're all gifted in many different ways as human beings. And we have to tap into those gifts, and when we use those gifts for what they're intended, and nobody can dictate to us what the intent of the gifts are. We just know when we find.
Yes. Yes.
We know within ourselves.
If we are lucky enough to have been encouraged in
yes.
the way you were encouraged.
Yes.
You know, and not told, who do you think you are, and don't do that.
Yes.
Right?
And there's, you know, there's rejection. There is, I mean, in
yeah, no, but you had it from, it's what you had in your family.
True.
You know,
true.
That stays with you.
Absolutely.
Then other people reject you, well, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't steal your sense that
yes.
you're okay and you can do this.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
that's a wonderful thing. So, okay, so you win the contest. It's hilarious. And how old are you at this point?
Oh, I must have been 22 or 23.
Okay, still quite
there.
Young.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So then, I am assuming you get the job in the casino.
I got the job.
Did they know about the contest?
They found out later. Monday morning, by the time Monday morning the meeting came, the general manager said, I hear you. I hear you.
You already started
up here. Saturday night. I said, yeah, it was a lot of fun. He said, yeah, that's amazing. He said, did they tell you that you were the first non-Asian to ever win? I said, yeah. Now, apparently that contest runs, it's a big contest that runs every year. And
they come to that casino to run this contest?
Well, they have two marketing structures within the casino. They have what they call the regular marketing guy. And they have someone who caters to the Asian. They have a large Asian
community. Clearly.
And so they have someone who
right, just markets to
right,
them.
Right.
Right. And one of the things they do for them is this contest.
Right. Right.
Oh, well, I was going to say that it surprises me that the Asians are so interested in karaoke, but didn't they develop it?
They started
it, right? This is my
yeah,
this is my inadequacy.
Yeah.
Right.
Japan,
it's theirs,
actually.
Right, of course,
yeah.
Japan. Right.
Yeah.
The very first time I ever saw a karaoke machine was in a Japanese restaurant.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right. Okay, good. So now, did they want you to audition, or was it enough that you won the contest?
Well, I think that put it over the top. He just wanted to know. It was about what kind of equipment are you running? What's your format? How do you, what are you about?
Right.
And so I laid out my presentation to him, and one of my biggest selling features when I would sell my company and myself to these establishments was that I come self-contained, but I'm also, you're getting an entertainer. You're not just getting someone who pushes buttons and calls names.
Right.
If nobody chooses to sing, I can put on a four-hour show
right.
myself.
Right.
And that's what their value is. And that was something that no one else in my field could say.
That's right. That's right.
And so I quickly learned what my features
your, and
were.
What your value was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. I assumed you would be doing the show, but no, that was just an added benefit of what you could offer.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So they hired you.
Yes.
And did people want to sing? Did you ever get to sing?
Oh, yeah. I would kick it off and do maybe a couple of songs. And then, I always attracted really good singers.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never allow good singers to intimidate not so good singers because it's for everyone.
Right.
So I was in seventh heaven because now I have a scenario where I can orchestrate and bring people together and protect those that need protecting, and I can sit back and watch these people who might not ever have met have fun and develop a sense of community and camaraderie.
Yes.
And
wow.
That to me was what I felt was what I was supposed to do. And people would ask me, you're wasting your time doing karaoke. Why are you doing this? I said, it's bigger than just, it's bigger than money. It's bigger than this is bringing people together. This is, there's enough negativity in the world. This is a little piece of positive.
Yeah, right.
That is very important and very necessary. So I don't feel like I'm wasting my time with it.
No. All right, good. And so how long did you do it?
I was there for 4 years. And I was there until it was there at the casino that the marketing consultant said to me, we do tribute shows at the end of every month here. I've never seen anybody look like Sammy like you do.
Oh, my goodness.
And my thing to him was, I've got my own style. I really don't want to be somebody else. He said, well, what do you know about Sammy? And I said, well, I know that he was part of the Rat Pack. I know that he was one of the first black entertainers pre-civil rights. And I know that he started off very young. What I knew was very little compared to what I was to learn.
Right.
So this marketing consultant bugged me for 1 year solid. I mean, I was at the casino for 4 years. And he would, for the first year, he kept bugging me about the Sammy thing. And I was like, oh, here he comes with that Sammy thing again. And so finally, one day, he comes with this big armful of stuff. And he says, no, just hear me out. So I'm like, oh. He says, just hear me out. Take this stuff. Study this material. If you honestly study this material and you come back to me and you say that you're not interested, I'll never say another word. I'll never bug you again. But you've got to learn, just see who he was.
Yeah, it was amazing.
When I got to the part where there were stills of him when he was young, I had never seen Sammy young before.
Yeah,
I'd only seen the mature Sammy. So when people say, oh my God, you look like a... I never made the connection. I thought, okay, it's just the hair. I'm looking at him when he was in his 20s.
Right.
And I'm speechless. I'm like... And for the first time in my life, it hit me. This is what everybody's talking about.
Right.
And I read the book, Why Not Me? And... You know, I read about him going into the military and the struggles and the ostracization, I don't know.
That's right.
Being ostracized by even his own race.
Right.
Because people were jealous, you know. Who are you that you can do this and be with these people and we can't?
Right.
So there was a lot of animosity.
Yeah, he had it from every...
From black people towards him.
Right.
They called him Uncle Tom. They called him all kinds of things.
Right.
And so... I mean, the more I learned about this man and what he did and what he overcame and he kept on going. I mean, we have support groups and we have, you know, legislation and we have things now that they did not have. And he plowed through it.
Yeah.
I mean, and with love in his heart and still things to offer and to share of himself. That's huge.
Right.
So 2004, the marketing consultant brings me the materials and says, study this material, and if you come back and you say you're not interested, I'll never bug you again.
Right.
Well, of course, that didn't happen. I mean, the more I read, the more I learned, I was like, wow. And when I saw the stills, that was the deal. That sealed the deal.
Yeah.
I was like, I can do this.
Yes, you can.
I can do this.
Yes, yeah, right.
And so then I started studying his mannerisms and his voice, primarily his voice. And I noticed I have natural tones like him.
Yeah.
It was very easy for me to do his material
in
his key. And so the more I learned, the more excited I got. And so finally I studied for, I think, 6 months, 6 or 8 months. And then I got up the courage to tell the marketing consultant I'm ready. Because I wasn't sure that I was ready.
Yeah, right.
I had never done it before.
Right.
So they put me with a guy who does Frank Sinatra. And my first show was, ironically, not at that casino, but at another casino. It was a Frank and Sammy show. And the phone rang off the hook after that first show. The Frank Sinatra that I worked with had been in the circuit for many years and said, there's this new Sammy that's out, and you guys are not going to believe this.
Right.
And so, you know, I was still kind of raw. I needed to develop more, you know, because I'm high energy.
No.
Sammy was high energy, but Sammy was contained high energy. He was, it's hard to describe.
Try.
He had an amazing presence that was full of energy. but he wasn't physically rambunctious.
That's right.
Such a skill to contain all of that energy and still project it at the same time. That is, and that's signature Sammy.
Right.
That's what he was. That's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do.
I believe you.
Because when I first started, I was in the rafters.
We were all over the place. Right.
And people are like, settle into it.
Yes,
get
you
it,
don't,
but
right.
settle into it. Yeah. That's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
And but that's so Sammy. And so that's what I spend my life mastering. And I've gotten a lot better at it now. But I still continue to keep that as a focal point. I call it Quiet Riot. The Quiet Riot.
Because I love
he was
it.
A Quiet Riot. He was, you know.
So you're channeling him.
I don't know that I'm channeling
him. But you know
him,
what I mean.
I want to do him justice.
Yes, right.
I want to be as authentic as possible. And I want to, you know, I want people to say, you know, if he was here, he would absolutely applaud you.
Yes.
That's the ultimate compliment.
It's the truth.
When people walk up to you and say to you, I met that man in 19 blah, 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 and you put me right back there. That's the ultimate compliment. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about me, it's about Sammy.
Yeah.
I'm only as good as people love Sammy.
Okay, so this is 2000 and what?
Four. 2004.
Right, is when you discover this.
Yes, when I actually committed to it, because it's a commitment. Mm-hmm. You can't just dabble in this field.
Right.
You really have to commit. You want to do someone justice when you're portraying someone else.
Right.
And a legend at that. I mean, you know, you want to, and it's a commitment.
And it's not like doing Mark Twain, who no one ever saw.
Right.
All right.
I'm not portraying Harvey the 6-foot invisible rabbit.
That's right. No. No, you, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody who watches you has something to compare it to.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't think of that until just a second. It's astonishing. It's such a huge thing to have taken on. But maybe you didn't realize when you started.
I didn't.
No, of course not. How would you?
I didn't. I just, some people always ask me, did you ever think you'd be doing this? Not in a million years. It never occurred to me. I knew I'd be singing and dancing.
Right.
It never occurred to me that I'd be doing this.
Right.
It's magnificent.
Yeah,
it is. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than a stage. It's bigger than just a show.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
It's what always was true for you. Looking for the thing that was bigger than.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Looking for the way in which who you are and what you have benefits the universe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Okay, so... this is what you're doing now, right? And this
yes.
is what you're intending to continue to do?
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
good. And I'm assuming you're getting a lot of work.
I am. Now, I also do Rat Pack shows.
Yes, well, of course.
I'm branching a little bit away from that. That part of it, Rat Pack shows are, with this show, this has so many possibilities because there are so many dimensions to Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes.
He truly did it all.
Yes.
So I have enough stuff to study to keep me busy the rest of my life. So 2004,
right?
I launched the first show,
right?
And the phone starts ringing off the hook,
right?
In 2008, I start working in, and I get in the circuit,
right?
And come 2008, I decide, okay, I need to do something. This is a turning point here. I need to do something. So I decide I'm going to get into Legends in Concert, because for impersonators, that's a large company. That's the largest impersonation company. That's kind of the pinnacle of...
Okay, yeah, right. I'd never heard of it, but I understand what
Legends
it is.
Legends in Concert. So I decide I'm moving to Vegas for the sole purpose of getting into Legends in Concert.
Uh-huh.
Now, at this point, there are no Sammys in Legends in Concert. Very difficult to get an audition in Vegas in Legends in Concert. So I move down there. I pick up. I go from Washington
again,
to Vegas.
Right.
Yeah. It took me 8 months, but I got in. I finally got an audition, and they hired me on the spot.
I'm sure they did.
And she said, we don't ever do that. We always take our videos. We go back. We review our videos, and we discuss it. She said,
We got you. Right.
I was very fortunate.
No, you were not. This is never about fortune. It wasn't about fortune in the contest.
That's true.
And it's
that's
not
true.
About fortune here.
That is true. That
I
is
mean,
true.
There's fortune that you are who you are, but... you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you be... So what do they do? I mean, what is the...
Well, it's a large company. It's a large...
and they start booking
production.
You all over the place.
Absolutely.
Right? Right. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Now they're booking you and you're...
Right.
Right. Okay, great.
So I'm still currently with them. I just don't do much work with them. So between Legends in Concert and Rat Pack shows, I'm touring the country and I do a tour in Ireland and all over Canada. And so I start getting a little burnt out with Rat Packs.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of shows out there and they're all pretty much the same. They just have different order of songs and order of...
Right.
But relatively, there's really not the leverage. I don't have the same room to maneuver that I do with a Sammy show.
Right.
So this kind of, when I started doing my own thing and branching off from the Rat Pack stuff, that's when a whole new dimension started up for me. It's like a rejuvenation.
Uh-huh.
And this is just, this is the best is yet to come. I mean, this is where we really have... I mean, I have so many ideas, so many places that we can go with the material.
I've been thinking about
all the
things.
I mean, he did
Golden
Boy, he did Broadway, there's so many elements to him.
You know, I saw Golden Boy.
Oh, I wish I could have seen it.
And I saw it, and he came out at the end of the show and said, listen, we need help here. Please tell your friends to go and see it.
Wow.
And we did.
Wow.
This whole interview was making me cry. I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And it seems to me that you could put more of who he was and what he did in the show.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Right. Not just the nightclub act, which is what is so amazing. And,
that's to come. That is to come. It's a process.
Yes.
You know.
Are you thinking of doing Golden Boy?
I hadn't thought about that.
Why wouldn't you?
I really hadn't even thought about that. I would like to. There's so many things that he did. I would like to implement excerpts and things from that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, but I don't think I would. I'm not sure that I'd want to redo the whole thing.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess I just haven't given it any thought.
Oh, well, put it in the.
But.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, the sky's the limit.
The sky's is the limit. Wow. So you just keep expanding what you can, the way in which you can re-embody him.
Yes.
And wow, that's amazing. So are there any definite plans here, or is this all still in the process?
Well, we're definitely doing this show again.
right. So have you changed it?
No, not this time.
Right.
Not that's mm-hmm. that's to come. We'll everything, you know, the one constant thing in life is change. The one thing that is absolutely certain is that things change.
Yeah.
And they evolve. I like the word evolve better than change, because change has, you know, a lot of some are resistant to change. Evolution,
it's natural.
It's kind of a blossomy type of. It's a more
yeah,
more positive.
Yeah, it's natural.
More,
it's organic.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight. Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm very comfortable changing things and evolving things. You know,
well, clearly,
you have to keep it fresh, but you have to. It's also a delicate balance. You know, you can't fix what's not broken. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
But there is a time where things have to evolve and reshape.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking that. A Sammy show in which you demonstrate on stage some of the struggle, you know, some of the rejection, some mm-hmm. of the pain. I mean, this man had a tremendous amount of pain.
You're the first person who has pointed that out. I put The Impossible Dream.
Mm-hmm.
in the show for that purpose. It's a little light. I didn't want to get too heavy and bring people down, because the point is to lift people up. But I did want to portray a little bit of his struggle through that. And that's what I was trying to do subtly through
I got it.
The Impossible Dream. And you're the first person that spoke of that specifically.
You know, it's nobody else is doing what you're doing.
Right, right.
And I don't think there's anybody who can do what you're doing. I mean, you know.
I never thought about that. But
well, I don't.
But it is a. It's very unique.
It's definitely very unique.
To say the least. I mean.
And incredibly powerful. And it's so clear that you've identified with him. I mean, you know, that you're not trying to use him.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I'm not just... It's not an exploitation.
No, it's not an exploitation. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's very clear. And it would be clear to anybody who saw you on stage or listened to you.
Yeah,
so
it's an homage.
It's an homage. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. So, great. Okay, good. Okay, so... I could talk to you about this for the rest of the year, right? And I'm so looking forward to seeing it again. Good. Okay. So now the other question that I like to ask is, having given a life to this, is there anything you would want to say about what that's like?
What performing is like?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the destination, it's the journey for me.
Oh, my.
And so with the journey, you take what comes and you maneuver within where you contribute where you see fit to contribute, and then you draw from that, and then you contribute again and you draw from that, and so the little elements that maneuver back and forth are the beauty of the scenario. So I don't have an expectation of, okay, well, I want to be here. I mean, there's a general, I want to be moving in a direction, but I think to pinpoint something is narrowing my scope.
It limits.
It's limiting.
This reminds me.
And the older I get, the more mature I get, the more that becomes apparent to me to just let it go where it's going to go. Make the right decisions, implement, work with what you know. And see where it goes.
It's what you've always done.
Yeah.
It's what you've always done.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful. I think this is a good place to stop. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you.
So, there you have it. This is a man who had no direction. He had no teachers. He had no mentors. He had no one saying, this is what you have to do in order to have this career. He had only his own certainty that this was who he was and this is what he had to do. And he followed that as though it were a neon sign pointing the way to his future, to what was his to be and do. This is extraordinary, and exactly what I've been talking about. What he did have, which were it possible for me to make it so, I would have all of us having, he had encouragement from his family. They didn't say, you know, who do you think you are, what do you think you're doing, which they might have, since they certainly could not necessarily understand this passion. None of them had it. But they were able to encourage their baby boy. They were able to enjoy him, to delight in him. And you hear that lovely story of how when he was King Nebuchadnezzar, and when his mother and his sister entered the room, then he gave the performance of his life. This can only be because he knew that they cared about him. He mattered to them. And that, it seems to me, if we all had that, then perhaps we could all be all that we are and all follow our destiny wherever it would rightfully lead us. But unfortunately, that is not always the case. In fact, not even always, well, in my experience, which admittedly is skewed since the people who come to see me didn't have it, but in my experience, it's even kind of rare. So I am hoping that when you listen to Tijan and you listen to this certainty, this compulsion, this is who I always was, this is what I was always meant to do, and and figuring out how to do it, inventing this, you know, karaoke career. And the other lovely thing, which I think also comes from the support of his family, is his desire to make his work also do good in the world. That's very special, I think. And his work does do good in the world, all of the work that he's done. And even if the only good that was being done by this current work, this homage to Sammy, was the pleasure that it gives, I want to tell you that would be more than enough. So he's still a young man. And what he's going to do, whether he's going to continue to explore, to mine the wonderful material of being Sammy Davis Jr., of reminding another generation, of introducing another generation to that extraordinary man, that extraordinary life, that extraordinary talent. If that's what he's going to do, if that's where this was all leading, that would be terrific. But I think it's also possible that there are other things in his future. Because remember, he didn't come upon Sammy until he was in his 20s. And that was brought to him from somebody outside. So we can only wonder what the future is going to hold for Dejan. But what we can know for sure is that whatever the future holds, it will be congruent to him. It will be what he knows he is meant to do, what works, what fits, what feels right. And again, and it's my hope that as you have heard this, you're asking yourself, do I have that? Can I have that? What would it take for me to have that? And I didn't say, but I will say now, that if you go up on the website and you are interested in talking to me about this issue, you can click on email me and ask me any question that you like. You can read the article on phone therapy, psychotherapy on the go. But whatever you do, please ask yourself what there might be about you that you have yet to discover. So, as always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use. Something that intrigued you, that interested you, that turned you on, or maybe just the pleasure of hearing Dejan Fields, because we're going out on another Sammy Davis Jr. song. And this is an amazing voice, as you certainly know. I'm not going to say any more. I'm just going to say, and here again is Dejan Fields.
Black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. I've got those icy, icy fingers up and down my spine. That same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. That same old tingle I feel inside. And then that elevator starts to ride, and down I go, all around I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. Well, I should stay away, but what can I give? I hear your name, and I'm aflame, aflame with such a burning desire. head, ooh, under that old black magic car. Old black magic car. Uh-oh, get out the car. Old black magic car. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, under that old
I'm getting older, my hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring, I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go. That I have had my shot, my time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly, well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper, I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't